tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Many of us have heard of the expression, you know, just have faith, it will work out. What is that? And we use it a lot, you know, to encourage people or someone that is going through something or a stressful situation. But what is faith as described in the Bible? And in fact, how does it really work? And we are joined on the line by Pastor Zibula Dlala, who's going to be helping us unpack this. And also it ties in with our 10 days of prayer, where the theme is priorities of faith, because we can't have priorities of our faith if we don't know what faith is, you know. So Mfundisi is here to help us with this. Pastor Dlala, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. And how are you?
I am good, Mfundisi. I'm happy that today the network is behaving.
Yeah, no. We'll pray for it.
Indeed, Mfundisi. Before we get into the conversation, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray so that the Holy Spirit may guide us in this conversation?
Sure. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you so much, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity of talking about, Father, salvation and faith and the 10 days of prayer and the priorities of faith. I pray and ask that, Father, as we are about to start our discussion, that you be the leader, you be the guide, O Father, and you speak to us in a mighty way, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray and ask, amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, what is faith?
According to my own understanding, taking it from the book of Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I understand faith to be, how can I put it, a title deed, a bank check that helps you or entitles you to claim whatever belongs to you. You might not see the car, for an example, but I would be having those papers from the licensing department that states that this card belongs to me. So in other words, you might not see my house, but I can show you my title deed and you believe that, no, this person has a house, even if I don't see the house, you know. So I understand faith to be operating in those bases. It's the title deed that shows us and the people around us that which we are entitled in heaven.
So since we're touching on salvation as well, Mfundiswami, and faith, do these two go in hand in hand, and which one starts? Because I remember when I was like, no, we're doing salvation and faith, someone was like, hi, you have to start with faith before you get to salvation. I was like, I'm not sure. So which one starts?
Now, neither salvation nor faith start.
Oh, okay.
What starts is grace. When you go to Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, by grace you have been saved. You've not been saved by faith, but you have been saved by grace.
By grace.
So, in other words, after salvation comes by grace, which is unmerited favor, it has to be claimed as well, you know. Has to be claimed through faith. That's why the Bible says, the word, in order for it to have profit in our lives, has to have faith. When you go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. So we claim things by faith, and then grace claims us, from destruction.
Okay, grace first. I see someone commenting, they're saying, oh, Zanelli, you just had to ask that. Yes, I had to ask that. So, Mfundisi, this week, this next 10 days, in fact, starting today, the World Church, which is the Seventh-day Adventist Church, like everyone that is an Adventist around the world, they've embarked on this prayer session, well, fasting and prayer, depending if We don't know if everyone is fasting, but let's just say prayers, right? And these 10 days, we're looking at priorities of faith. As I was going through the study, there was like, okay, this is not what I expected by the theme and what is in there. I was like, this is quite interesting. But do we have some things in Mfundisi Wami that can disturb us or shift our focus from our faith?
Yes, and actually what's interesting is that looking at today's text, which comes from Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16, it says that we need to make the most of the less that we have, because less is more. Emphasizing, you know, the less time we have and the most that we have to do, you know, in the short time. Paul, you know, outlines certain things that can distract us from having the priorities of faith. And the first one is messed up priorities. Okay. I think let's start there. You know, messed up priorities, not knowing what's worth more and what's worth fighting for more and what's worth leaving. So the first thing that, you know, the adversary does in our experience is that he makes us not to understand priorities, you know. And I think it's very imperative for a Christian to have a compartmental life, you know, being able to divide things in our lives and holding on to that which is important over that which is less important. But Paul also speaks of a circumspect walk. One thing that tends to be a hindrance as well is not really the walk, but the inaccuracy of the walk. Because Paul says, walk circumspectly. In other words, walk accurately. Walk on the way. One might be walking for years to discover that, you know, they've not been actually walking in the right way. You know, this, we can be talking about the experiences of life, the experiences of the heart, and how we read and understand and dissect the Word of God. It could be many, many different factors, you know, that can feature in one's walk, which is inaccurate. And then Paul says, be filled. So he talks about a careful walk. He talks about a circumspect walk, and then he also talks about a controlled walk. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not be filled with drunkenness, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is a careful walk, which is controlled by the Holy Spirit. And actually, I was reading something interesting about the phrase being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
it's actually an aorist imperative to say it's not you do not manufacture your feeling of the Holy Spirit, and it is also an imperative, which means you do not have any other option as a Christian but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So one hindrance to our walk. And that will hinder us to not make more in the less that we have is not being filled with the Holy Spirit as well. And then Paul also talks about a worshipful walk. He says, encourage one another with spiritual hymns and psalms. You know, another hindrance is that we are not worshipful in our walk, which could also be another hindrance.
You mentioned something there, Mfundisi, and I don't really want to open a can of worms, but I'm going to go there just for control's sake, you know. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, there are multiple explanations of what that looks like or what that is. If we go to the charismatic churches, being filled with the Holy Spirit is you being able to speak in tongues. That's another debate. I don't know what being spilled in the filled in the Holy Spirit would look like, you know, but we have different meanings of what that means. So if you could please just clarify for us, Uguti, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, what does that look like? Because I might be walking here as Uzanel. I'm like, yes, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is not even, you know, here.
No, true that. True. You know, The Holy Spirit is likened in the Bible. You can go to Hebrews chapter 4 as oil, taking that and tying it to that woman who went to the feet of Christ and anointed the feet with oil. Mm. The Bible says there was a fragrance in the room.
Okay,
you know, the oil, in as much as you know, it was in use. There was a good smelling fragrance in the room because of it. So taking that and applying it into our lives, a spirit-filled life is a fruitful life, because a spirit-filled life, you know, shows the fruit of the spirit, joy, gladness, happiness, and all those, you know. So it's not necessarily tongues that determine whether a Christian is spirit-filled or not, but it is the fruit that the Christian produces that actually shows that he has actually been connected to the vine. That's number one. And number two, a spirit-filled life is a life that understands the will of God. When you go back to Ephesians chapter 5 as well, he says understanding the will of God in one of those phrases. So God's will is both particular and broad. So God's will that is broad is for us to all be saved, but God's particular will is for us in our individual lives as to how does that mean, what God is going to take us through in order for us to be saved. So a spirit-filled life is a life that produces fruit. A spirit-filled life is a life that understands and does the will of God. That's my understanding. A spirit-filled life is a life that is obedient to God.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for explaining that right there, because yeah, I even have one listener saying the hype was, and ask that question. I think they knew where I was going to ask it. We were saying, ask it, because I was like, hey, the can of worms, you know, let's open that. Yes. And I'm happy, Mfundisi, how you've explained that we're going to see by the fruits, you know, being obedient, you know, being following the word, studying the word, and so forth and so on. So now, coming back to this faith, Mfundiswami, and less is more, it's a bit interesting when I looked at it, because we are saying less is more, but we want more.
Yes.
As people, we want more. We don't want to deal with less, because when we have less, it's like we are lacking, you know. Mm. So how then do we deal with that? How do we deal with that, for lack of a better word, with that ego or that self-satisfaction that I've got more? Do you understand? Because now we are being taught, in fact, today's prayers and everything else, everyone is saying less is more, but I'm like, I don't want less. I want more. You know, that feeling of the Holy Spirit you're speaking about, I think I have it, but I want more. You know, I want to push myself to that. I want more. I want to be in the church board. I want to be every Sabbath. You know, I want to be, for example, on radio and stuff. But you are getting more, and it's going to choke you somewhere along the lines. How then do we deal with wanting more?
And I want to say two things. The first one is contentment.
Okay.
One proof that actually one has matured in Christ is having contentment. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, contentment with godliness is great gain. The second thing that I want to say is found in one of the sayings of Christ, where he says, you know, if one is faithful with the least that is entrusted with, you know, will trusted with more. So I think the trick here of wanting more is the fact that, you know, we haven't matured in Christ, and we haven't grown in grace to actually realize, to actually realize, you know, the more, or let me say the greatest of all that Christ has done for us at the cross. A godly life needs to be content on the basis of what Christ has done on the cross, and what we experience. I'm not saying here that we should not be ambitious, you know, in our lives to achieve greater things, but we again, we've got to understand the particulars of the will of God, because you might find that, you know, God wants to put you at a certain level, or has put you at a certain level, you know, but because you are not content, you do not have one of the virtues of contentment, you would be seeking for more. And that actually shows, Uguti, you are not walking by faith, you're walking by sight. It's not the absence of the blessing that defines the absence of God in your life. You know, you've got to be content with wherever God has put you. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, that I've learned to adjust in sickness, in pain, in joy, in everything. I've learned to adjust. Even if you, Philippian church, do not send gifts to me, I've learned to adjust. So as a Christian, a proof of maturity is you being patient in trial, being content even in the absence of the substance.
Mfundisi, I'll okay.
Know the particulars of the will of God in your life. That's what I'm saying. It's going to help you to understand whether you still need more or you have less. There are many people in the Bible, Sister Zanele, that, you know, God wanted them to be somewhere, but they ended up, you know, dying halfway.
Yes.
And one of those people is Terah, Abraham's father. God said, go to a land I'll show you. Abraham and Terah settle in Haran. Terah ends up dying in Haran without getting to where actually God designated him to be. So I'm not saying, we shouldn't continue on the journey. But what I'm trying to stress out here is that we've got to understand the particulars of God's will in our specific lives.
So the thing what I wanna reconcile, or like, for you to sink in, am I then to understand that faith and contentment, they're in the same WhatsApp group?
100%, 100%. In fact, I would say to you that in order for you to have contentment, you've got to have faith. Because, you know, in the absence of faith as well, in the absence of you knowing, your entitlement in heaven, would actually let me make an example. You know, I've noticed something with me. Probably it happens with you.
Hi.
If there is something, that is good that's happening around me, I don't get hungry. I'll make an example. In my wedding, I did not because I was,
You were here
happy
for certain things.
I don't know if it happens with you or with other people. When I'm happy, you know, when they used to buy me toys, when I saw that red car as a toy at home, you know, and they bought pie, you know, as well, with, you know, nai pie, I would just look at the pie, you know, and focus on my red car. I wouldn't get hungry, you know, for that pie, and my brother would end up eating it, but I wouldn't care because I'm full because of, you know, what I'm seeing. So I think faith also operates in the same basis. If you know what Christ has done for you, then your gratitude actually triggers contentment in your life.
Mm-hmm. I think the challenge when it comes to contentment, Mfundiswam, is that others may argue that it means that we are settling for mediocre, you know, because here I am, I have faith, like I have everything, Mfundiswam, like I'm faith, I believe in God, I study the word and so forth and so on. But then now when you're telling me that I have to be content, like contentment is showing my maturity and stuff like that, I'm like, whoa, so I must be okay in the fact that I'm sleeping in a shack. I must be okay in the fact that I'm eating pap with just salt, you understand? I must be content with that because it will show my maturity, like really now?
You know, Sister Zama, God operates in unique ways for unique people. Whenever you have now settled, it is God who takes the initiative to actually, trigger you to move. I'll give a couple of examples. For an example, when Jacob in Genesis 35 mm-hmm. was content in Shechem, God comes to him and says, "Return to Bethel, man. You know, Shechem is not your home. Mm. In fact, you know, renew a relationship with me by going to build an altar in Bethel." He says to the children of Israel, I think it's Deuteronomy chapter 2, "You have settled too long in this mountain." Mm. It is not there to realize. But God realized with no man, these people have settled, you know. So the Bible tells us about Naomi in Ruth chapter 1 to say that when she was in Moab, tidings came that there is now food back in Bethlehem, Judah. Mm. You know, so one thing with contentment, or rather with settling, you know, in one place is that, you know, we suffer from not realizing you know, that we actually need to move. Settling, you know, makes us at ease and we are comfortable with whatever we're receiving. And it is actually God who triggers us, you know, as he works in unique ways, that we shouldn't settle here. So I believe, Uguti, God works uniquely for everyone. You know, mm. God will have a... So for Abraham to move from Haran, Terah had to die. Mm. And Terah's death was God's communication to Abraham to say, "You have settled too much, and you know, this is mediocrity. This is not what I wanted." So in other words, you know, sometimes God communicates with you know, the losses we encounter in our lives to tell us to, you know, leave. Sometimes, you know, God would frustrate you in your current job because he has a better job for you. Mm. You know, it even boils down to relationships and things like that. So God communicates uniquely his particular will for us, to us, to different people, you know, so that we understand the message.
Mm. Before we open a million can of worms, Mpindiswami, thank you for today. Thank you for coming through, you know, and explaining, you know, all of this concept and everything, because it's something that we need. And yes, we're doing the 10 days of prayer, but some people, they still need those basics, things like what is faith and so forth and so on. There is a text that came through, Mpindiswami, as as we wrap up, it's so the listener here is quoting us Philippians 4 verses 11 to 13, saying, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Mm. Mm. Any closing words, Mpindiswami, as we valal up?
Yeah, so Bazalwane, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There is no salvation outside the word. Salvation is not a feeling. Salvation is an experience. It's a state of being. It's not, you know, a temporary feeling that we feel just as how, you know, the world has portrayed it. So we've got to base our salvation on the word of God. And remember, we live by faith and not by sight. God bless you.
Amen and amen. Mpundis, thank you so much. Till we chat again tomorrow. I know you are doing 10 days of prayer in somewhere else. I've seen the posters, so we'll try to tune in as well. As we know, you're also tuning in to us, Yabo. So, all the best there.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, you're powered by the SID Media.